sex reversed.
Oh my God. Kathleen, you can't start the podcast with anal sex anything.
Well, if anybody was listening to the last podcast, we had a pretty detailed conversation about pegging.
Yeah, the last full-length podcast we had. And so if you missed that one, it's a good one. It's the one about cheese smelling weird. But so Kathleen and I realized that our parents were probably going to be doing some Googling after that because they probably didn't know what pegging meant. So we decided to Google and see what our mothers would discover.
Oh, my God.
And it's a, yeah, I mean, we knew what it meant, but we didn't know how it was going to be defined online.
Let me click images just so.
Just to be thorough.
All right. That's pretty much what I expected.
I like how they put it in like cartoons and that's not offensive because it's a cartoon.
Mm-mm. Do you know I love those videos? Cosmopolitan Magazine does this thing where they dress a man and a woman in flesh-colored bodysuits and then sends them out into public places to try out new sex moves.
Yep.
Where they simulate it, and it is so, like, old women, or, like, grandmas will be, like, taking their children and shielding their eyes. Meanwhile,
dude,
it's like downward dog, upward goat.
Man,
if lady.
If anyone knows my mom, please don't alert her to the fact that I have a podcast.
We're 37 episodes strong, and she has no clue yet.
She doesn't know?
No, I don't want to explain pegging to my mother.
Oh my goodness, my mom listens as soon as it's released.
Did you guys tell her straight up, or did something happen? She saw a post where your mom's like, oh, what are you doing? And you're like, oh, I just started a podcast.
Oh, I told her, because this, so we were going to do this like a year and a half ago, and we did like the whole photo shoot that is now on the cover.
Yeah.
We're not wearing any clothes
Which
or whatever.
That's why we look the same.
Right, exactly. So my mom knew it was a thing that, you know, we were hoping to get off the ground.
Yeah.
So she was here ground level.
Well, I'm happy that my mom doesn't know, so I don't have to explain these things.
But I have your mom's text message number, also known as a phone number.
I think you do. That's been a decoy this whole time. But I'm also kind of afraid that she's far above me in anything that I think I know or think I'm weird about, because I went to Club Getaway, which is an adult summer camp, for one weekend last year, and I didn't tell my mom until I was on the bus. I was like, because I read everything you're going to do. I'm like, oh, this place is going to get funky. Like, let me not warn my mom until I'm like, yeah, I'm going to Club Getaway. She goes, that's still open?
What?
Like, what? She goes, oh, yeah, I've been there.
Oh, my God. Was it an orgy club back then when your mom went?
She definitely used the word swingers in the sentence, but she said it was before she met my dad. But I never
Which is
brought
worse.
It up again.
Oh, my God.
Which is worse, because, I mean, she had crazy sex with non-dad people.
I'm afraid that might be what it means. So I'm not going to bring up the podcast because I don't want a phone call that says, sweetie, you described it wrong. Or like,
oh, my God.
Something.
Those were crazy times.
Yeah, no. Don't want to touch on that with mom.
I have a friend who smokes weed, and so he found this dealer near his hometown. So whenever he visits his parents, he found his guy, and the first time that he bought from this guy, the weed dealer was like, "Oh man, I sell to your parents too."
No way!
He was just scandalized.
Oh my God!
Scandalized.
That would destroy me. That would destroy me. Although if I ever met my mom's weed dealer, I'd shake his hand, because there's no telling how crazy she'd be if she were not on weed.
Dude.
So if she is, stay there.
Yeah.
Stay on it.
Well, yeah. I know what I'm doing today.
On the weed.
I'm texting your moms.
Please don't, for the love of God.
So Sam, you had a topic for today. Thank God someone in this world is doing some planning. It's not me.
What is topic?
I thought, hey, concerts, something we're all really familiar with as concert goers and as employees.
So between
those two columns, I'm sure there are some funky experiences between the three of us.
Yeah, well, I mean, last week we announced the lineup for our Z100 Jingle Ball here locally in New York. And so we're kind of heading into the crazy season of concerts if you work in the radio or music industry, because Jingle Ball is like this thing that happens across the country, and a lot of the same musicians travel to a bunch of them. So this is very, very good timing.
Yeah. I mean, and still, though, all the behind-the-scenes stuff we get, and my nuttiest moments have definitely still been as someone who bought a ticket to go
really?
To a concert.
Oh, yeah. What was your craziest moment?
I think my favorite crazy moment was my mom and I were almost and it would have been today, but back then almost escorted out of PNC Bank Arts Center, which is a pretty huge concert venue by us.
That's a great venue.
It is, mm-hmm. because NSYNC was playing.
Oh, yeah.
I was too short to see in the standing level with the awesome tickets that mom got us. So she found a ledge off to the side. She scaled it. She pulled me up.
Oh, my God.
And then we spent 5 minutes with me, like, her hands on my waist and just picking up me up and down as I jumped, waving my arms. And it was all worth it because JC saw me, pointed, and did the double wave back. And then the security guard got us.
Oh.
We would have been kicked out today.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
There's no way. But that was still as like, I don't know. What year was that?
I don't know. Late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, so as like around a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
I was pretty friggin' psyched.
Yeah, NSYNC was a big deal.
I put a sign on my door that even said, like, NSYNC saw me. Like on my bedroom door.
I liked Lance, which explains so much in my life.
Samesies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kathleen wants a son, but not any son. She wants a gay son.
A gay tap dancing son.
Well, I feel like if you get one, you can easily guide him to the next.
I know. Like, I just want him to, like, sit over Vogue with me and oogle the beautiful clothes and dresses. And is that really too much to ask?
Absolutely not. Yeah. I don't think that's too much. I remember when my sister was pregnant with her first. We were all actually praying that it would come out to be a little gay boy. We all wanted a little gay boy so badly. And instead we got this beautiful woman who we love, this beautiful young lady. But there's definitely that. I think as a woman, there's like this dream of having, I don't know,
someone to take you to musicals when you're 85 years old and to bake casseroles with you.
I'm bleeding, by the way.
Oh, my God. What the hell?
On the day I'm wearing a white shirt and everything.
Ugh, yeah, no. Man. But it really brings out the beautiful rustic color in your headphones.
Thank you.
I used to go to Warped Tour every year because I was like so punk rock and stuff, guys. Once I got in over my head, it was All American Rejects. It was their set.
Yeah. Yep.
And I was like really wiling out. Is that like a term
totally.
That people use?
Hey, fellow teens.
relatable.
I got knocked down and then people were stepping on me and it was kind of getting to be a little bit of a scary situation where out of nowhere, this acquaintance from high school, I mean, like we were friends, but very on the outskirts, like an angel comes out of nowhere. Like we didn't go to the concert together. This was before Facebook, so you couldn't check in, so you didn't know anybody was there. He just hovers over me, scoops me up, and brings me to safety. This really nice guy, Eric, and every few years, he'll send me a message that's like, hey, remember that time I saved your life at Warped Tour?
Just wait until he needs money.
Yes, I do. Thank you.
If you two had ended up married, that would be the perfect like getting like how we met story.
And then he turned into a gay tap dancer, but you stayed married.
Yeah, I know. And like, I didn't see him again for the rest of the concert. It was just he saved my life, brought me to safety, and then we parted ways.
That's really nice.
I know.
Bethany, do you have any concert going extravagant experiences?
Fuck. I mean, you know, here's the thing. I don't love concerts, which is really funny because I work in music.
The irony of this.
I know. My thing is like, if I can't actually hang out with the person, I'm the same way for most live events. If I can't hang out with the person, I'm like not really interested. So like, instead of going to live theater, I would rather be in the show. I still enjoy live theater, but I enjoy doing it more. Mm-hmm. But I do have a friend, this just happened. I feel so bad for him. He is obsessed with Kanye. Obsessed with him. Like anytime he's in my acting class, anytime he has to get really excited for something, like screaming excited, he thinks about Kanye. And so
wait, does he have the owl sweatshirt?
I'm sure he does. Of course he does. So he's broke because he's, you know, an actor in New York, he has no money. So he finally got tickets to go see Kanye like about a week and a half ago.
Oh my God.
And that's the show that Kanye stopped
no!
to go get Kim in Paris.
What happened? happens? Do they get their money back?
I have no idea.
Oh, does it matter how far along into the concert you are? You hit the 70% mark. That's no cash back.
The look on the poor guy's face must have just been devastated. He wouldn't talk about it the next day. Like, he wouldn't.
Oh, my God. That poor human.
It's like saving all your money, all your money, all your money, and you finally get to travel across the seas on the Titanic. It's like, I feel so like, hey, family, oh, I'm taking us on a vacation.
Oh, my God, that poor man.
I know. My first concert ever was Tori Amos speaking about, like, yay, gays.
Yes.
Wow.
And it was pretty amazing. We had obstructed seating. And so it was my friend Sherry and myself. And Sherry had seen Tori before, and Sherry had been to all these different concerts. And so Sherry took the obstructed seat because she knew it was my first concert. And so she let me have the only half obstructed seat.
Oh, my God.
It was so, so sweet of her. And it was an amazing concert. I don't even know if Tori is playing anywhere anymore, but if she is, you got to go see her. She's incredible.
Aww.
And they, you know, whatever.
That's really nice.
Yeah, it was like really.
I like that.
It was sweet.
I wish my concert experiences were, I'm like all.
You and your mom raging?
My mom rage. Actually, do you guys have like, or do you know of that one person that is either too hard to party or too hard to concert with?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, yeah. That was my ex-boyfriend from college for about 2.5 years. He was too hard to concert with, but he loved them, and we always went to them. I should have known I was in for 2.5 years of show turmoil when the night he asked me out, he got so excited that I said yes, that he wanted to show off. We're at a, you know, one of the basement where it's standing room only, like maybe 200 people concerts. And he goes, dare me to touch the guitarist. I'm like, there's no way you can because you crowd surf and then the guards push you back. You're not, there's a person between you and the guitarist. And he looks at me, and just at that moment, I know I've said something wrong. He runs around the side gate and runs up the ramp while the band is playing, touches the guitarist's shoulder, gets tackled by the bodyguard.
What?
Loses a shoe.
No.
And with one shoe, gets sent out the emergency exit in the back of the place.
But then he ruins the whole night for both of you because he got kicked out of the concert.
You'd think, but I was like so...
What just happened?
I just remember, I was just cradling his shoe, and it took me 7 minutes to get to the back of the crowd because I had to go out the normal exit.
Like, dude.
Now I've got to find my boyfriend of 12 minutes.
That's another thing where nowadays he would have been like shot.
It's true. He would have been in big trouble.
You don't get to run onto stage and touch anybody.
I don't encourage that kind of behavior because the face on, like the look on the guitarist's face, he was so frightened.
Yeah.
Because this dude is like 6'2", also, and a big guy. Not that that matters. Don't run toward anyone, but still.
Oh my God.
That was a rageful night.
It was a lucky lady.
How old was he at the time? Was it high school?
He must have been 22.
That's something kids, childers in their early 20s do. Because now I'm like, give me a seat. Give me a ticket with a seat number on it and a glass of Chardonnay.
Yeah. It used to be Red Bull vodka.
Yeah. Well, I remember like when you're 18 to 22, you just have like nonstop energy. Yeah. I remember the summer after I graduated from high school, so I was 18, I was hanging out with a bunch of just dudes, which was the most random conglomeration of people ever. We didn't hang out at all in any of the years I'd been in school. One of them was my sister's friend. One of them was just this rando guy who was in a different band that I had never, like, just the weirdest group of people. And we spent the summer jumping off of buildings.
Oh my God.
Sorry, what?
Like, parkour?
Hey, yeah, basically parkour before parkour was a thing.
Jumping into what?
Grass.
No.
It was like, hey, like one of them was this just, he loved to do pratfalls and fall downstairs and stuff. And so he was sort of the instigator. And then we would all like sneak on top of a building and then find a hill that was sort of kind of close and jump. We just spent the summer jumping off of buildings.
Oh, no one broke any? What are you, divergence?
This is a testament to my Nordic genes because we have very strong bones. I didn't break a thing. I jumped with the best of them. But it's like, hey guys, let's all just jump off of buildings.
And none
of them were like 18 stories. I mean, they were like sheds and stuff.
Yeah.
It sounds cooler than it really is, but it's still kind of neat.
Such a thrill seeker you were. My God.
That was the summer I also flew a kite in a rainstorm and it got stuck into a power line.
I just see you do it with like metal music playing in the background. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
That was like my summer of living life.
I love that phrase. We just spent the summer doing blank.
Oh my God.
And also, random guy.
Yeah. Totally random. Like, even now, do you ever just find yourself in a group of people and you think, how the hell did I end up in this group of people?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of like every day at work.
There was a, there was a random guy I used to talk to, and I'm using air quotes when I say this, early in high school. And for the life of me, I couldn't even tell you his name, but I mainly talked to him because he looked like one of the singers from O-Town.
Wait, which one?
The dark-haired one, Steve, not Ashley Parker Angel.
Oh, that's the only one I know.
Yeah, and he had that TV show, short-lived.
Nope.
Yeah.
Still don't know.
Anyway. Yeah.
It's a good reason to talk to somebody, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because he looked kind of like that guy.
So this is kind of a vaguely, but really hardly related segue.
Not only have I never been able to associate a guy I'm talking to something, but I don't think I've ever dated the same human twice. Like, if you line up my, like, all the men I've dated in my life.
Yeah.
It looks like just like, here's a melting pot of America.
Oh, like in terms of like type?
Yes.
Because I was going to say, because you do go back to people. So it's not like you haven't dated the same person twice, because you have.
I go back to the same specific person, but I don't know. I've been all over the map as far as anything else.
Good for you. As I said to you last night, you paint with all the colors of the wind.
The wind.
A crayon box full of dating experiences.
I keep my door open and, you know, it sounds kind of noble, but really at the end of the day, it's just a beggar's can't be choosers kind of thing.
Oh my
God. All the guys I've dated are pretty much the same. Jewish Scorpios. Like, it just... It's just the way it is.
Have a more specific type, why don't you?
I know, I can't help it.
I'm content with the one you landed.
Thanks.
I like him a lot. Yeah, I have a type for sure, but I've never actually dated that type.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Why not?
Because, I mean, like, if I'm on Bumble and I'm swiping through, all of my swipes look the same. They're all, like, tall, dark hair, dark eyes, pale skin.
Okay.
That's, like, my type. But I've never dated that guy before. I think because like in my day-to-day life, if I actually encounter someone who looks like that, I'm so intimidated that I run the other direction.
That was going to be my question.
Yeah, I run the other way.
No.
That's definitely my kind of dream type.
Okay, well, this podcast is coming full circle because I'm pretty sure one of the earlier episodes had to do with Bethany nervous about approaching.
Yeah, that hasn't changed at all.
Flirting?
Nope, hadn't changed at all.
So now I've always known tall, but now that I know the pale skin and the dark hair and dark eyes also kind of hit the bullseye.
Josh Groban looking
Josh Groban looking I think you just named the podcast.
That's a good concert. That's a good concert with a glass of Chardonnay. I've been to that one.
They opened for Tori Amos.
Yes, they did.
My God. All right. All right. Let's go around the room. Let's say something we learned. What I learned is you need to not sweat the little things. And I told Kathleen about this kind of recently. I'm decorating an apartment with someone. And everything's been great, but mostly because she lets me take the reins. And she's introduced a couch blanket recently.
I love
it. Does it match anything?
Oh, no.
It doesn't match. The pattern doesn't go. The colors don't go. I already have an espresso-colored couch blanket on the other side that I purchased for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a, I'm not kidding, maybe a 30-second staring contest with the blanket today.
Does it have a meaning to her?
Not that I know of, but not that I don't, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe.
Okay.
I so sympathize with you because I'm the worst roommate ever. Like, somebody put up an ugly shower curtain once and it ruined my ear. Like, I
can't. Ooh, there was a fire in the bathtub. Yeah. The shower curtain got lit.
So sorry.
Oh, no. Now I'm going to have to buy, like, an ottoman just so I'm like, oh, we have a place to put the blankets now.
Ooh. Or a basket. Buy like a cute basket to put next to the couch.
That great could idea. Work, but I want my blanket up on the couch.
It's like when company comes over, I take all of Neil's figurines and hide them.
Wait
like
a minute, he has figurines?
Cartoon figurines, hockey related sports things.
Are they like, pewter?
Like, I don't know. They're on his desk. I'm like, I don't like these.
Now I'm surprised coming over. I want to see these. Okay, yeah, that's what I've learned. Sam, get over it. I can't get over it. You have to work on it. I'll try, but no promises.
Kathleen, what did you learn this week?
I watched this really fantastic documentary on HBO called Class Divide. And it is about the West Chelsea neighborhood here in New York City. And it's about housing projects. And right across the street, there's this really fancy school called The Avenues. Mm. That's where, if you read the Suri Cruz Byrne book, she used to go there. So, so it's really fancy kids. And it's like probably about $50,000 a year starting in preschool to send your kids there.
Oh,
and the housing projects across the street and how they're melding together within the West Chelsea neighborhood. Go on HBO On Demand or HBOGo.com. Do yourself a favor. Watch this. Fascinating. Eye-opening. I watched it twice.
Wow.
Had to absorb it that much.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Great suggestion. Thank you.
Bethany.
So I learned that... sometimes you just need to have your brain jolted out of something. So whenever I wake up in the morning, I immediately am anxious. It's just my natural state. And I immediately am like, what did I do like yesterday that now I regret? Or what do I have coming up today that I'm nervous about? And my brain is just on overdrive. And I have two alarms on my phone. Because I have an iPhone. So you have the new bedtime option, which has like a bunch of different great, like lovely alarms. So I wake up to birds slowly kind of fading in and chirping, and it's really lovely. But I also have a second alarm, like a normal alarm, set for about 15 minutes later just in case the birds don't wake me up. And the birds always wake me up, except this morning I was so anxiety ridden that I kept hitting snooze on the birds until my normal alarm just went, wake the hell up! And it snapped my brain out of the anxiety, and it was just like, time to get up. Like, you time to be a real person, and you gotta suck it up. And it was so, so useful. It was so useful. So if you are a worrier in the morning, like I am, have that alarm that you know is just like to trigger your brain to like take a right turn and get into the day. It's very, very helpful.
We'll be selling Bethany yelling, get the hell up. We'll put that link on our Twitter at Acquired Podcast. That'd wake me up.
Yeah.
That's woken me up before when I spent the night at your apartment.
True. That like, and the ghost.
Sam, wake the hell up. I don't want to talk about
wake
that.
Wake the hell up. This Halloween isn't Bethany. She's still sleeping. Wake the hell up.
Oh my God. Okay, great. So follow our Instagram at Acquired Tape. I can't speak. Someone else take over.
Follow us on Twitter at Acquired Podcast, on Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast, and on Facebook, an Acquired Taste Podcast.
Thanks for listening.
Not funny.